and amen. You may be seated. Well, praise God. Are you glad to be in church here today? Yeah, well, we're just so glad to see you. Welcome, everybody, to Family Church. As I look out and about, we see several new faces here this morning. We're just so glad to have you. We know you're not here today by accident or by coincidence. God's got a plan for your life, amen? And we want to help get His plan into your life. It's not our plan. It's not our opinions or ideas. It's right here with His Word, amen. It is the best life there is, the life that is living obedient to Jesus. Praise God. Well, for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. We just welcome you. We're just so glad to have you. We know that God's got a plan for your life, and we just want to get you into that plan, and we're just excited to have you here. And the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday at 10:30. We'd love to be your church family. And church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. Praise the Lord. Just so good to have you. Don't forget, after service today, we have a little food reception up in our youth center. Everyone is invited. Bring the kids on up. It's not gonna be a full three-course meal or anything, but we're just gonna have some light refreshments. I'd love an opportunity to meet and greet with our first-time guests here today. And so immediately after dismissal, we can head right up to the youth center, which is the building closest to the road, and we're just gonna have a little time of fellowship here today. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yes. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go on over to Ephesians chapter 5. And today I'm going to call this message the resurrected life. The resurrected life. God has got a plan for each and every one of us. And I'll tell you what, that plan begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if you will call upon the resurrection of Christ, the Bible says that His resurrection will become your resurrection, that you will be raised to new life. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? That means I'm going to, you know, become young again, or I'm going to, you know, get in shape like I was when I was a teenager or something. No, it's not a natural resurrection. Of course, Jesus did, you know, raise again, you know, 2,000 years ago. But the Bible says that when we're born again, we are resurrected to a new life. And we become born again in the eyes of God. Our heart and our nature gets changed. And God has a resurrected life for every single one of us. I'll tell you, with as dark as our society is getting, folks, we can't wait anymore. We can't put it off anymore with serving God. It is time to get to God. It is time to follow His plan for our lives. It's not about, you know, our church's name. It's not about the institution or the organization, so to speak. It's about Him. Amen. It's about the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Today, when we talk about the resurrected life, we're going to talk about the things that will enter our life when we get filled with God. Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to fill our life. God doesn't want to be second place. He doesn't want to be one and a half, right? He wants to be first place in our lives. And I'm here to tell you that there's no better life than having God first in our lives. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start down there in verse 14. I'm going to read several verses here. And today I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. It is a newer translation. It can help us just understand it a little bit better. I also have the King James Bible with me as well. I have a parallel Bible. It's a wonderful combination just to study the Word of God. Amen. And so let's go over there to Ephesians 5:14. Obviously, I know that many of you don't have an Amplified Bible with you today, but we're going to put the scriptures up on the screen because it's very important to us that you see that what we're preaching on is the Bible, and it's not our opinions. We're not trying to make Family Church great. We're here to declare that God is already great. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 5:14. We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to go back and teach on them. In verse 14, it says, "Therefore, He says, God says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine or make His day dawn upon you and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Now pay attention to this next verse, because he's going to tell us exactly what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 18. It says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery or excess, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Amen. God says, if you're going to fill up on something, don't fill up on wine. Don't fill up on alcohol. He says, get filled with his Spirit. And I love how the Amplified says, ever being filled with the Spirit of God. You know, if you study the Greek, the reason why the Amplified says that, because literally in the original language of the Bible, it says, be being filled. Be being filled, meaning you're not just filled just one time. But we're given the assignment to get filled with God's Spirit and to stay filled with God's Spirit every single day. And just because we got full once doesn't mean we're going to be, you know, full all the time. It's going to take our effort. It's going to take our purpose to make sure that we stay filled. And in verse 19, he says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. Boy, how many of you have already heard that here today, right? Speaking out with voices and with instruments. Well, there's also another aspect to this verse that we're going to get into as well. In verse 20, he says, at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. He says, be subject or submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He says, wives, be submissive and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject or submissive to Christ, so let wives also be submissive in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Now remember in verse 22, it says that, or excuse me, verse 21, it told us that we're supposed to be submissive one to another. How many of you know it's not just wives submitting to their husbands, but the husbands have a role to be submissive to their wife as well. In verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, or he sacrificed himself for the church. So a husband submits to the wife with love and with sacrificial giving. Amen. The husband is the one that will give up his time, right? He will give up his resources, whatever he's got to do. Amen. To bless his wife and his family. Praise the Lord. Go back to verse 14 and let's take a little closer look. And today I'm going to give you three attributes of what it looks like when God fills your life, when God is active and working in your life, and how you can stay full of God all the time. And I tell you what, if you're not full of God, then you're probably full of the world. And if you're full of the world, you're going to be full of its darkness. You're going to be full of its depression. You're going to be full of its sadness. You're going to be full of its worry and fear and all the crazy things that are going on. I tell you what, folks, the resurrected life, it doesn't just mean you're resurrected and you just, you know, stay on earth, so to speak. The Bible says that we get to go and sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. See, when you live for Christ, you're living from his point of view. You know, get out of this low point of view, get up there on his point of view, and you'll live above all the craziness that is going on in this world. You don't have to be worried by what's happening in the news. God's got a better plan. You don't have to be worried about, you know, your needs being met. God is abundant. He is able to meet every need. Amen. Look at verse 14, but it all starts right here. In Ephesians 5:14, therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. How many of you know he's not talking to Jesus at that point? Jesus had already risen from the dead. He is now talking to you and me, and he says, if you're a sleeper, he's not talking about natural sleep. He's not talking about, you know, taking a nap. He's not talking about, you know, going to bed at night. He's talking about spiritually being asleep when we're supposed to be awake. See, sleep here is given as a way to describe somebody who has their senses suspended. You know what I mean? When we were sleeping last night, you know, when you were in your bed, when you were sleeping, how many of you know your senses are suspended? You're not aware what the cats are doing, right? You're not aware of everything that's going on outside. You know, you're not aware of the traffic, you know, driving by your house or anything like that. When you're asleep, your senses are unaware. And so that's good naturally when you sleep at night, but it is not good to be spiritually sleeping and unaware of what God's doing, what God wants to do, what's happening in the world. You cannot be asleep. Amen. And let's face it, we have all been there. Some of us might be there right now. Some of us sometimes, we've all been there where we've let our spiritual senses get dull and we got to pull ourselves back, all right? Sometimes we spiritually get lazy or we get distracted or whatever it is. But folks, if you or I, if we're the sleeper, the Bible says, you know, awake and make sure that your spiritual senses are not dull for this time and this hour. God wants to do something in your life. God has already done great things and he wants to make you aware of that. Amen. O sleeper, arise. And he says this, arise from the dead. See, the Bible says that without Jesus Christ, we are dead in our sins. We are dead. You know, literally the scripture says that. I could think of that verse. Why don't we just bring it up? There's a verse that just kind of plays on the inside of my heart. Can you bring up Ephesians 2:1? I believe it's right there. And if I'm wrong, we will find out and you can make fun of me, right? And you, God is made alive when you were dead or when you were slain by your trespasses and sins. Before somebody knows Jesus Christ, in the eyes of God, they are dead by those sins. Or when a human being is born into natural sin, the Bible says literally that they're slain. They're killed or they're dead before God. But the Bible says if you will receive Jesus Christ, you will be resurrected to life. Amen. And he, according to this scripture, says he will make you alive in the eyes of God. He will give you life eternal. You will not have to be concerned about eternal punishment or hell. God will become your father. He will be your promise keeper. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if we're sleeping or if we're unaware that Jesus rose again from the dead so that we could be made alive, sometimes people, they don't even realize that they're actually dead. That they're actually dead. You know, sometimes, you know, I say this when I officiate funerals and so on. You know, I officiate funerals of people that knew Jesus, people that lived for Jesus. And at a funeral, people come into the funeral home and they see the casket and they think that they're there paying respects to the dead. You know, they think that they're walking in and they're the living. You know, they're the living and the person in the casket is the dead one. Here's another scripture that's just playing on the inside of me now. Can you bring up 1 John 5:12? Well, these are not verses I was planning on going to. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will start to remind me of a scripture and the brain has to catch up with the chapter and verse. Bring up 1 John 5:12. This is the definition of what it means to be alive. You might not even realize it today. You might be dead and not know it. If you're dead and you don't know it, the Bible says you're a sleeper and awake and arise from the dead. Our nation needs to awake and rise from the dead. Oh, Lordy. Lord God, help the United States of America. This nation has abandoned its principles, oh Lord. And I'm not saying it from a political standpoint. Our Constitution is getting shot in the heart every day. You know, a Constitution that was once, you know, do you realize that our Constitution was written? It was literally about copied from the Mayflower Compact. Do you know that? Do you know that? Which was a religious document about the Word of God. Anyway, that's free, no charge. But here's the definition of life. He who possesses the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God. Those that possess the Son, meaning have received Jesus into their heart, they have life. He who does not possess the Son of God does not have that life. So the Bible does not call life based on whether you have oxygen in your lungs or a heart beating in your chest. The Bible says you have life if you possess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And without Jesus, no matter how healthy your body is, God says you're dead. You're dead. There was a time in my life, which it sounds really odd to say this. There was a time in my life I realized I was dead. I was slain by my own sin. And there was a time that I realized I need Jesus Christ. Because the only way I can live is to receive Him as my Lord and Savior, to be obedient to Him as my Lord and Savior. It's the only life worth living. Amen? So if you possess the Son of God, you have life. And so when I tell people they come into that funeral, if that was a born-again Christian whose body is laying in that casket, guess what? They're not dead. They have more life than they've ever had before. We walk in and we think, well, we're the living and they're the dead. But if you don't have Jesus, we're dead. A lot of times in the funerals that I officiate, the living person is actually the one in the casket. The dead are the ones sitting there in the service until we give them an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, right? Amen. So ask yourself this with no shame. It's not about shame. Jesus took your shame and guilt. But if you ask yourself, be honest, am I dead or am I alive? You'll know. And I'll tell you what, if you're uncertain, I'm going to tell you, you're dead. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? You know, it's funny. We're right here in 1 John 5:12. Look at the very next verse. Wasn't planning on going here. I write this to you who believe and adhere and trust and rely upon the name of the Son of God in the peculiar services and blessings conferred by Him upon men, meaning people, so that you may know, everyone say no, that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life, yes, eternal life. If you don't know if eternal life is living in you, I'm telling you, it's not. And that is not an accusation, that's not a criticism. There was a time in my life I had to be sober and realize, oh my goodness, I'm dead. I remember when it was in January of 2002 when I realized I'm dead. And I just had to get honest with God, honest with myself. And I remember I was on 7 West Main Street, Brockton, New York. No, I was not in jail up there, praise the Lord. But I was right there, right in the center of town. My wife and I had a little apartment there, and I remember it was January of 2002 when I literally got down on my knees and I said, Lord, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I'm going over this line and I'm never going back to that old life. I said that purposely, and from that day on, my wife and I, we've been living for Jesus. Amen. That's the day that I rose from the dead and came to new life. Go back to Ephesians 5:14. And so today, if you're a sleeper, God's not saying that to be criticizing you. He's saying because He wants to wake you up. All right? He wants to wake you up. Go back to Ephesians 5:14 in the Amplified. It says, therefore, He says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. Praise the Lord. Can you go back to Ephesians 5, please? In verse 14, there it is. Therefore, He says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make His day dawn upon you, and give you light. Folks, we got to have that light because the world is so dark. You're going to need that light. All right, so now let's just keep on reading, and then we're going to jump into three things that happens in your life or that's evident in your life when you get full of God. And you're going to want these things. Amen. Verse 15, He says, look carefully then how you walk, meaning how you live. You don't want to be sleepwalking through this life. You know, he's saying, watch how you walk. If you're a sleeper, I'll tell you what, you don't want to be walking through this life. So many people are sleepwalking spiritually on this earth, and this is the only life we have. Folks, I'm here to tell you that there is an eternal realm. This life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. It is going to be gone very quickly. And there is going to be an eternity to face. And there is a heaven. And there is a heaven where God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, where he dwells. It is a place of complete peace. It is a place of complete beauty and light. But I'm here to tell you the truth. There is also a hell. Hell in the Bible is not figurative. It is not an allegory. It is not a metaphor for just bad things on the earth. There is a place that Jesus said. There's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a place where the worm dies not. There's a place that Jesus said that people would be tormented in flames forever. Those are the words of Jesus himself. He's not saying that to scare you, so to speak. He's saying that so you'll wake up. So we'll wake up. And just in case you're sleepwalking, and if you realize that you're actually dead, well, the good news is you can get alive right here and right now today. Amen. Glory to God. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. He says in verse 16, making the very most of the time. Make the most of the time, because I'll tell you what, it's a very limited amount of time. Even if you live to 110 or 120 on this earth, it's very limited. And let's face it, very few people live that long. I mean, a long life, what is long life? 85, 90 years? I mean, you know, something like that. Time is limited and going fast. He says, make the very most of it, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. If you have an opportunity to receive the life of God, receive it and receive it today. He says, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is in verse 18. He says, do not get drunk with wine or alcohol. He says, for that is debauchery. That will pollute your senses and you will not be able to see correctly what God wants you to do. All right? That's why God wants us to refrain from alcohol. He says, but don't fill yourself with alcohol, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Ghost. So what is the will of God? To be full of his Spirit. To be full of his Spirit. You know, when we say that, you know, a lot of people have questions, and that's understandable. You know, this is the greatest and highest will of God for all human beings, is to be full of his Spirit, to know him personally, to obey him with a full heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be filled. This is our purpose. This is how we grasp the will of the Lord. This is higher than any situation, any scenario in our life, to get full of God. To get full of God. And people would ask questions and say, well, Pastor, no, what I really need is I need to know what job to take. Lord, you know, what I need to know is what to do in this specific situation. I need to know who to marry, or I need to know what to do in this situation with my kids. I need to know where to invest my money. I need to know where to buy a house. I need to know all these specific things of what to do. I'm here to tell you that if you will get filled with God's Spirit, when it comes time for a decision or an answer that you need, the Spirit will provide it. My purpose in this life is to be filled with the Spirit, and then the Spirit knows what I should do. Do you know what I'm saying? We think that our job is to find out what God wants us to do with every single decision and every single thing and situation in our life. How many of you know you don't have enough time in the day to pray out every specific decision and move that you got to make in this life? But if you're filled with his Spirit knows what to do. And when you need an answer, when you need to make a decision at the time you need it, if you'll learn to hear his voice, you'll know exactly what to do. You'll know exactly what to do. That's why my goal in this life is not finding out every little decision I need to make. My goal in life is to be filled with Him. And then He knows what to do. He is my guide. He will unveil the path that I'm supposed to take. This is the highest purpose and the will of God for every human being, and that is to live the Spirit-filled life. Amen. Yeah, that new job, you know, that new relationship, investments in your money, buying a house, selling a house, all the decisions that we've got to make in this life, right? We got to make sure that we're filled with Him, or else we won't know what to do. Get full of God, stay full of God. Amen. We are told to stay filled because we don't, you know, the Bible says keep being filled. Continually be being filled because we don't stay filled. You could have attended church for 10 straight years, you know, without missing, you know, one Sunday morning service. But guess what? You still need to be filled. You know, you might do a lot for God and do a lot of great things for God. You still need to stay filled. You might do very little for God. Guess what? You got to still be filled. No matter how important or stressful your job is, no matter how many kids you have, you're always going to have to stay filled. Why? Because this world's going to try to drain the Spirit of God out of your life. We got to stay full. All right. So if you're here today and you're wondering, well, am I full of God's Spirit or am I not full of God's Spirit? I'm going to give you three ways to know and three ways to stay full. This is the will of God. Get full. Be led by the Holy Ghost. Watch what God does with your life. Arise and come awake and live for Him. Amen. Look at down here. Let's go down and read verse 18 again. Don't be drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be ever being filled and stimulated with the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 19 tells us the first thing, one way we know when we are walking full of the Spirit. He says in verse 19, speak out. How many of you know when God fills you, He wants you to speak out? Speak out. But what does the flesh tell us all to do? Hold back. Hold in. Be quiet. I mean, let's face it. It's happened in this service already. You know, folks come in and they see people praising, lifting their hands, and vocalizing to God. You know why we're doing that? Because that's what He wants. That's a part of walking with the Holy Spirit in your life, is speaking out. He says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. Now, when we read this in the Amplified Bible, it seems to just kind of indicate that we would just speak to other people. And how many of you know that's true? How many of you are grateful when you talk to other people who are full of God's Spirit and they refresh you, strengthen you? I'm looking at so many of you today that when I have conversations with you, I come away refreshed and blessed. Why? Because you're filled with God's Spirit and we're supposed to speak to one another. But we have to understand something here. Can you bring this up in the King James? The King James brings out another aspect, and this is the one we're going to focus on. You say, well, Pastor, if the King James and the Amplified seem to say something different, well, no, each one of them is just bringing out a different side of this truth. It says this in the King James, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's the number one thing that we're going to talk about here today. How to know that you are walking full of the Spirit. Number one, you have a song. You have a song. Now, if you're newer with us here, you say, what? Have a song? What is this guy talking about? Hold on. Let me explain it. We'll get to it, all right? In the King James, it's bringing it out because when you study this verse out, actually both are true. God wants us to speak one to another, being filled with the Spirit, but He also wants us to speak to ourselves, all right? When you read the scripture, the Bible tells us over and over to meditate in His word. To meditate literally means to speak or to mutter to yourself, all right? And so He's using the illustration of not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? Just like this, somebody doesn't come up and get you drunk with wine. You know what I mean? that's a decision that you made. That was the actions that you took. And so this scripture is talking about the actions we take personally to keep ourselves full. If you're just waiting for other people to say just the right thing to you so it'll help you stay full of the Spirit, you may be waiting a long time. Because this scripture is not, you know, emphasizing only what we speak to others. If you're going to walk full of the Spirit, you're going to have to speak some things to yourself. Amen. And he says what that speaking is. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Folks, if you're here and you have no idea what this is talking about, that's okay. Because the goal is to show you these things and to hopefully help you get into these things. Amen. But when we're full of God's Spirit, we're going to have a song. What does that mean? Does it mean, well, what do you mean? I wrote a song. I'm not a musician. No. It's talking a little bit differently than that. Amen. This song is something that the Spirit puts inside you so it will help lift the burdens that are going on in your life. It's like a flame that's in your heart that cannot be stamped out. It cannot be extinguished. When you're walking full of the Spirit, God is going to give you a note of victory. Amen. And notice he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It didn't just say if everything is going right in your life. It didn't say if you're making the most money you ever have or, you know, everything is just hunky-dory in your life. Do people say that anymore? Hunky-dory? No, I say hunky-dory. Isn't it odd, you know, getting older? You know, all of a sudden you're saying things. Anyway, praise the Lord. I don't even know what the new words are today, and I don't particularly care. It's hunky-dory for all of us today. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I want you to get a nice full serving of hunky-dory today. God's kind of hunky-dory. But what this is talking about is when the Spirit of God puts a note of victory in you. And when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, yeah, all of a sudden you might literally start singing. And again, it might just be on the inside. It will obviously also come out of your mouth as well when you start just speaking to yourselves in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. It's there to lift the burden, to make your path lighter and brighter. Amen. When you're walking with Him, I'll tell you what, wouldn't that be a lot better than complaining? Wouldn't it be a lot better than worrying all the time? I'll tell you what, people that are voicing a song of the Spirit coming out of their heart, they're not going to be the ones sitting around fearful, worried, griping about life. Amen. It didn't say you'd have a song because everything is going just the way you want it. It says you'll have a song because you're filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit will help you lift those things in your life that try to be burdens. We have a note of victory. That song comes in and makes things that seem heavy, it makes them lighter. Depression is no match for this song. Depression is no match for this song. Sadness is no match for this song. Worry is no match for this song. I said, well, Pastor, how do I get that song? Like, what are you talking about? Well, he's given us several options right here in this verse. And I'm going to kind of go in reverse order. He says spiritual songs. A spiritual song is something that the Holy Spirit could just inspire within you, and He can give you words that's just for you and Him, and you know, people don't even have to hear it or be around, and you just start singing those words. All right, that's a spiritual song. It was a Spirit-inspired song that you are speaking to yourself with the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it helps keep you full. Amen. It helps keep you full. Praise the Lord. All right. But notice it also says hymns. Now, we're not talking about just something out of a hymnal, but a hymn is a known song of praise. That's literally the definition of the word hymn. H-Y-M-N, right? The Lord can also use songs that we know, maybe songs that we sing in church, maybe other praise and worship songs, that song will almost be imprinted in your spirit. And you might wake up and you're just singing that song. That just happens to me all the time. And I made mention in our Erie church last night, there's two, we'll call them hymns. They're definitely praise songs or worship songs that just always seem to just come out of my spirit. I'll wake up singing these songs. You know, we were singing part of the words in a song here today, but I'm not sure all the people that have sang it, many people have, but that song, Worthy is the Lamb. You know, holy, holy, are you Lord God, right? And I just start singing that. And then there's another song. It's called My Tribute. A lot of us know it as To God Be the Glory. I'll just be singing that. It'll be out of nowhere. You know, maybe I'm just getting ready. Maybe I'm driving down the road. Amen. And when we're walking with the Holy Ghost, He's going to give us that note of victory. Isn't that a lot better than stressing out what's going on in the political situation? Isn't that a lot better than sitting around wondering where money is going to come from or what you're going to do, how you're going to make it, what's going to happen? Isn't it a lot better than complaining and griping? Amen. Like I said, I'll tell you what, you start singing that song, I'll tell you what, depression and sadness and anxiety is no match for that spiritual song. Now, maybe you're not musically inclined. I know I'm certainly not. You obviously saw that little pinch of how bad I am at singing, right? But, it doesn't have to be something that's always musical. The word psalm here, you know, in this scripture, it means a poem or an ode. An ode, all right? Obviously, not all poems are sang. Sometimes they're just spoken. Have you ever had that, Christians, that you're familiar with this, where, you know, the Spirit of God will just come on you, and all of a sudden you just, maybe it's a scripture, or maybe it's just bold confessions of faith just come on you, and all of a sudden you're saying, no, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Greater is He that's on the inside than he that's in this world. I'm more than a conqueror because He has highly loved me and highly favored me. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Those are just verses. Amen. You know, or it might just come out in more of a poem, or maybe it's just a declaration. But all of these things included in this verse, this happens when we're walking close with the Holy Spirit. And folks, when I say this, this is not an accusation. This is not a put down. But let's ask ourselves, does this describe our life? Are we going through this life with a song? Or are we going through this life with a whole bunch of doubt and complaining and arguing and fighting and worrying? What if you had a song? See, when you're full, it's going to say, and there's a lot of people, he's like, well, I just don't believe that's just not who I am. It's not who we are. It's who He is in us, right? Amen. I'll tell you what, folks, you want to get there. And this is just part of the life that He has through Jesus Christ. Why would someone start singing out of their heart? Because their burdens are lifted. What would life look like if you had no worries? The Bible says, casting all of your cares upon Him. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Glory to God. What if we really just got to live that life where we were anxious for nothing? What does it look like? People say, well, Pastor, that's impossible. Wrong. It's very possible. It's not possible naturally, but the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. I'm not designed to carry worry, and neither are you. You are not designed to look at your past. You're not designed to carry around everybody's, you know, problems and stresses. We're supposed to live stress-free. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are heavy burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Imagine Jesus said this. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's interesting because the cross did not look too light. But He had that fellowship with God. It was light from where He was standing. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him went to that cross, despised the shame, and now was sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. What if you face this world with a supernatural joy? I know our nation is, I'll tell you what, do you realize, are you aware of where our nation is in its history? Are you aware? And I'm not trying to say that to scare anybody. I'm not even saying that because of the news headlines of the week. But I'm here to tell you, our nation is in a dark spot. Our nation is in a very difficult place. And what this nation needs is people walking in the light. And I'll tell you what, when the things of our nation try to be heavy upon you, you need that song. You need to be walking in that song. Amen. Praise the Lord. Depression is no match. Your emotions will be cleansed by that song. Your emotions will actually be able to start experiencing that joy that God has for you. Your mind will be renewed by that song. Hope will swell in your heart because of that song. Darkness will be pushed aside in your life because of that song. But is this how your life could be described? Is there a song in your life or not? You know, there's times in my life when I've let that song go out, so to speak. You know, we all go through that. But I'm here to tell you, you can get refreshed. You can get renewed. You can jump right back in and start living a carefree life. Well, I just don't believe that. That's not realistic. Yes, it is. God doesn't tell us we can have something and if it's impossible to have it. Amen. Look at the second thing. Go down to verse 20. It says, and at all times and for everything. Everyone say, for everything. For everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Here's the second evidence that you're walking full of the Spirit. You're grateful. You're filled with gratitude. Amen. Folks, I want to show you something. And I'll just show it to you in the Bible up here on the screen. Can you follow me over to 2 Timothy 3:1? Bring up 2 Timothy 3:1. We'll come right back to Ephesians 5:20 in a moment. And boy, we keep going back to these scriptures. And the scripture says in the New Testament, it says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come and set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. That's just a fact of this world. There's going to be burdens that come upon this earth, all right? The Bible says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. And so that just because they come upon this earth doesn't mean they've got to land and stay on your shoulders, right? Amen. Why will perilous times come in the last days? Look at verse 2. It tells us the reason why. It says, for people, or because people, will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Selfishness is the number one cause for the way the world is right now. Think of all the things that focus on self. You know, I've actually heard it, and it's not even a church saying or anything like that. It's just, you know, people in the world have called it this. These new generations are called the me generation. Because they're obsessed with themselves. They get on social media. They promote themselves. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. People will be lovers of self, self-centered. They'll be lovers of money and aroused by inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. They will be proud and arrogant. Of course, I already mentioned greedy. It says contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents. Wow. Kids, are you listening here today? Look at this next word. People in the end days. And this is the reasons why perilous times come. What's the next word? Ungrateful. People in the end days will be more tempted to have a lack of gratitude than ever before. It's the reason, or one of many reasons, why the world is the way that it is. The people of the last days are called ungrateful. The filling and the refilling of the Spirit will always lead you towards gratitude. You know you're walking full of the Spirit when you are walking in a place where you're coming before God all the time. All the time during your day. Thank you, Father, for feeding us every day. Thank you, Father, for the home that we live in. Thank you, Father, for meeting every need. Thank you, Father, for my spouse. Thank you, Father God, for my church family. Thank you, Father God, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that you've given me eternal life. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Gratitude is the result of walking filled with the Spirit. Complaining is the evidence that we're not. The Bible says in all things, in everything, being grateful to the Father. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't have much to be thankful for. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, everybody on the block has a nicer house than I do. Who cares? Thank God for the one that you have. Well, I watch people, they have what I want, and or they have the relationships that I want. They have, you know, the children that I want. They have the job that I want, all these things. Be grateful for what you have. Amen. You will never walk filled with God if we are not thankful. Amen. The Holy Ghost is always moving us towards gratitude, because gratitude and thankfulness is the opposite of being offended. If you're grateful, walking full of the Spirit, you're far less likely to be offended. God knows the greatest personal temptation in your life is to get offended. Offense is the first attack of the enemy on your mind to bring you down. The devil destroys offended people, but the devil cannot touch grateful people. In the name of Jesus, giving thanks for everything to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Gratitude isn't just something that God deserves. It's something that protects us. Thank God for gratitude. The more grateful you are, the less offended you're going to be. The Holy Spirit is always inspiring us. That leads us away from offense, because He knows the part of the Holy Spirit is to protect us and guide us. The biggest trap in your life today is the people you're offended at. The offense that you have against somebody else is the biggest trap. If the devil can get you offended, he can move in. He can move in and make himself very comfortable in your life. You can go back to Ephesians 5:20 now. Folks, don't be part of this ungrateful mass that's going to be in the world. The world's filled with ungrateful people. America is at an all-time low with gratitude. All-time low. When I was a kid, this nation shut down every Sunday to honor God. When I was a kid, I mean, it was tough to even find anything open. Now it's just like any other day. The Bible calls it the Lord's Day. Amen. The NFL thinks it's their day. It's not. It's God's day. Nothing wrong with enjoying a football game. I'm just saying, people think that Sunday is for something else. It's not. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is always keeping you safe to try to move you into gratitude so you don't step into offense. The Holy Ghost is giving us gratitude because these are words that will move us closer to our Heavenly Father. The Holy Ghost is giving us gratitude so it will keep and protect sacred bonds and covenant relationships. If you're thanking God for your spouse, it's going to keep that bond. Father, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, Father. In other special relationships, thank you, Father God, for my church family. Thank you, Father God, for my spiritual leadership. Thank you, and I'm not saying this to help myself. I'm saying it because I have a pastor. Thank you, Father, for my pastor. Thank you, Lord God. If you have a boss at work, even if you don't like that boss, thank God for that boss. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the job. Thank you, Lord, for any income that comes into my life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. These words will move us closer to God. It will also protect the sacred bonds and covenant relationships. Amen. You will have more patience for people you are grateful for. See, the Bible says, if you know, it says over there in James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into different trials and temptations, knowing that the trial of your faith works patience, right? And it says, you having patience, that you may be perfect and lacking nothing. Amen. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be whole, entire, lacking nothing. See, When you're grateful, you are far more likely to be patient. If you're grateful with your spouse, you're gonna be more patient with your spouse. The reason why you can just snap and yell and fight and complain about your spouse is because you're not taking time to speak to yourself and speak to the Father how grateful you are for them. Amen. Of course, we all make mistakes. We understand that. But I'm just saying you will be less likely to be offended at your spouse. You'll be less likely to lose your patience. You'll be less likely to lose your temper if you're constantly grateful for these people. Amen. Glory to God. Why are people always so quick to criticize their boss at work? Because they're not acting grateful for him. You know, why do people jump on pastors and get very critical of ministry leaders and stuff like that? Because they don't act grateful. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to help myself. I'm in the same boat you are. I've got a pastor and spiritual leadership too. You'll have more patience for the people you're grateful for. If you've lost your patience for a sacred relationship in your life, it might be because we've stopped thanking God for that person. Amen. Grateful people are less likely to succumb to depression. Think about it. If your gratitude will always give way to joy, it'll always pave the way to joy. Absolutely. Grateful people are less likely to succumb to depression. Grateful people are less likely to lose their temper. Grateful people are less likely to talk behind someone else's back. Grateful people are more likely to be loyal people. Amen. Thanking the Heavenly Father makes you loyal to Him. Thanking God for your spouse makes you loyal to them. Thanking God for your church makes you loyal in your church. Amen. God can use gratitude. Gratefulness will keep you from becoming dishonorable. If you're grateful for your spouse, you're not going to dishonor them. You're grateful for your boss or your job. You're going to be far less likely to get dishonorable. Wow. Be grateful. I mean, I don't care who, if someone's got what, if everybody in the world's got more money than you, be grateful. If everybody else has got a nicer car, a nicer house, be grateful. If they've got better, you know, clothes than you, be grateful. You say, well, why are you talking about? The Bible says be grateful for everything and all things. It's not about what you have. It's about who you have. Who you have is always going to be far greater than what you have. Who you have is Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father, the Holy Ghost, your spouse, your family, your church family. Amen. And third and finally, are you ready? Look at verse 21. So now we think, a lot of times people think that verse 21, that the scripture is switching gears and talking about marriage, when actually he's still talking about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. He's still talking about what it is to be filled with the Spirit. He said, you know, get full of the Holy Ghost and speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He said, when you're walking full of the Spirit, you're going to have a song. Two, you're going to be grateful. And three, look what it says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word subject is the word submission. The third thing that the Holy Ghost will do in your life is he will help to make you submissive. And then in the following verses, he teaches wives and husbands how to submit one to another. See, the scripture, he first says, make sure that you're subject one to another. A lot of times people just go right to the next verse where it tells, you know, wives to be submitted to a husband. Well, there's a way that a husband also submits to a wife. They're just different ways to submit. Submission is what happens when we're full of the Spirit. People who are not full of the Spirit resent those that are over them. So many times, Christians will find themselves resenting the people that are over them. They resent political leadership, they resent church leadership, or they resent their spouse, or kids can even resent their parents, or whatever it is. the natural flesh wants to just throw off anyone who has authority in our lives. Do you know that we have many people in our lives, the Bible says, that we are under their authority? Remember over there in Matthew chapter, where was that? Matthew chapter, was it 5 or 8? Remember the centurion whose servant got healed? He told Jesus, he says, I too am a man under authority. He says, I've got soldiers over me. And he's like, and I have a company of soldiers of 100 men that I command, right? He understood authority. And because he understood authority, Jesus was able to heal his servant. Remember that? See, there's people in our lives that we submit to. I'm submissive in sacrificial love to my spouse. You know, I'm submissive to my pastoral leadership. I'm submissive to, you know, if I had, you know, a conventional job, I do have a boss. I submit to a board, and I have, you know, those that sit on the church board that have authority to speak into my life. Amen. I'm submissive to that. There's never been a time, and board members, if for some reason I'm not being honest, you can stand up and call me a liar. I'm not aware of any time in these last 18 years where a board member ever came to me and wanted to talk about something. I said, no, I'm not talking about that. No, submission. You know, I want to be submissive to the Lord. I'm going to submit to His word. If His word tells me to forgive somebody, I'm going to forgive somebody. If His word tells me to be a tither, I'm going to be a tither. If His word tells me to sacrifice myself for my wife and my kids, I'm going to do it. Submit to the word. People who are not full of the Spirit, they resent those over them. They see those people as ones that are holding them back. Your spouse isn't holding you back. Your pastor isn't holding you back. Your boss is not holding you back. Kids, your parents are not holding you back. Amen. All those people are in our lives to give us an opportunity to be submissive. Amen. But when you're full of the Spirit, you'll love to submit. Amen. Men who are filled with the Spirit, husbands who are filled with the Spirit, they will love to show sacrificial love for their wives. They have no problem with being good to her. No problem in seeing that she's blessed. No problem helping her. Are you here today, men? Guys, that would have been a real good place to say, amen, Pastor. Men who are filled with the Spirit, they love to act in sacrificial love. They want to be like Christ and love their wife like Jesus loved the church. Amen. A wife who is filled with the Spirit will love to be submissive to her husband. She will not try to press in and lead the family. Boy, it got quiet in here. I know, it's a very controversial thing to say. Some football player stood up at some graduation somewhere and said that it's okay for a woman to be excited about having children and guiding the affairs of the house. And now our society is trying to crucify. You know, he's on the wrong football team. He's on the wrong football team, but I like that guy. Not because I'm a man, because the word of God says that the man is the head of the home. Right. Ladies, we're blessed. You know, we're. I was speaking proverbially. Service over. We're dismissed. I'm out of here. Ladies, you'll get blessed in that submission. Husbands, you'll be blessed when you are in that submission of sacrificial love. Amen. And so many times women are told that they, you know, they're the ones, you know, that are put down and diminished. No, no, no. If she has a husband who's walking with God, he's going to honor her as the precious vessel, the scripture says. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, whether we like it or not, God says that spiritual authority in the home starts with the man. He didn't say it ends with the man. There's spiritual authority that's given to the wife. But submission is our opportunity to be blessed. Amen. Jesus Christ submitted himself. The Bible says that he submitted himself even to those that were wicked in order to save you and I. Think about it. Submission was the act of Christ's love. Amen. Spirit filled people will love to submit to ministerial leadership. Amen. They'll be grateful for a local church. They'll be grateful for their boss. They'll be grateful for their spouse. Submission. When the Spirit of God moves in your life, it's going to make you have a heart to want to be submissive. We're living in the days and the times where everybody has a grievance. Folks, have you seen the grievance culture that we live in? Everyone's got a grievance. Everyone's got a grievance of race. Everyone's got a grievance of gender. Everyone's got a grievance on income inequality. Everyone's got a grievance on this, that, this, that, this. Everyone's got a political grievance. Everyone's got a protest. That spirit of protest and grievance does not come from God. It is from the enemy to divide our society, to hurt our lives. When you know God, you become submissive. Amen. You become a spouse that says, I want my spouse to be preferred. Yeah. You know, oh, I work for my boss. I'm going to try to make things easier than on his or her life. Amen. Are you here today? When the Holy Ghost moves into your life, he's going to give you a song. He's going to make you grateful, right? Praise the Lord. And he's going to make us submissive. And these things are how we walk out this resurrected life. When you know Jesus Christ and when you jump into God's family and you start living for him, all of a sudden these things start moving into your life. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't mean that trials won't happen. It doesn't mean that challenges don't come. But I tell you what, I'd rather face this dark world with a song, with gratitude, with submission, than sit around and worry and complain and gripe. Let's get the gripe out. Amen. And so I just ask everyone here today, ask yourself, does this describe your life? And when I say this, this isn't an attack. It's just a sober look into our own hearts. Could you describe yourself as having a song or a note of victory? Can you describe yourself as being grateful and filled with gratitude? Can you describe yourself as being submissive? And if the answer is no for any reason, or maybe not as much as you could or should be, well then, let's get full. Let's get full. Amen. Pastor, how do I get full? First thing you do is you get full of this. You know, you can receive, you know, salvation. You can even receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can receive these things. But if you don't do the Word, it's going to be all for nothing. You got to first start with the Word. First, you got to start by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you've never done that. And if you once you receive Jesus Christ, you need to start to get to know him through his word and start obeying him. And then from there, you need to go on and get baptized in the Holy Ghost and have a deeper relationship with your Heavenly Father and allow that song to come to you. Amen. Allow that gratitude to just thrive in your heart. Amen. Allow that submission to come into your life. Did you get some help here today? Folks, what we're going to do now before we dismiss, here in just a moment, I'm going to ask all of us to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to move into an attitude of prayer. And what we're going to do, and for those of you that, you know, are regulars here, this is not a surprise to you, but what we're going to do with all of our eyes closed and our heads bowed, except for mine, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then I'm going to ask, if anybody is here today and they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, earlier in the service, I had everybody here ask yourself that question, am I dead or am I alive? Do I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or am I still dead in my sins? I told you my story in January of 2002. I realized I was a dead man walking. And I realized that I needed Jesus. It wasn't God being mad at me. It was God loving me and pulling me up into his resurrected life. Amen. And with all of our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to say this to everybody right now. My goal today, I'm not going to walk up to anybody. I'm not going to come and get you and bring you down front. I'm not going to send somebody from the church to go find you or anything. It's going to be between you and God. But what I'm going to do in that time of prayer, I'm going to ask, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, but you'd like to today, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. And as soon as you just, you know, that's just taking a step towards God. And when I see your hand go up, I will simply say, oh, I see that hand, or I see that hand. You can put it down. And that's all I'm going to do. Meaning I'm not calling you down front. I'm not tricking you into something more. I know some ministries do that, and I don't do that here, you know. But I need you to take a step towards God, you know. We need to be willing to say, yes, Lord, that's me. And when I see you, you know, it'll take 1 second. And I'll say, you can put that hand down. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a prayer. Everybody will be praying that same prayer. You'll be repeating after me. And right there in your seat, you could just concentrate on you and God and pray with everybody else praying and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And folks, if you're here today and Jesus isn't your Lord yet, or if you're unsure, get sure. Do not risk this life without Jesus. And yes, I'd love to have you part of this church. You know, I'd love to have you here every Sunday. But if you don't end up here, but if you get, you know, saved and you end up in another good Bible teaching church, well, praise God for that. Amen. Let's all go ahead. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and let's enter into prayer. Father God, we're just so glad for your word here today. You have a resurrected life in store for us. You said, oh, sleeper, awake and arise from the dead. Lord, there was a time in all of our lives when we were that sleeper. We were unaware that we were spiritually dead. And Father God, we thank you that you've done everything to give us a chance to have eternal life. You said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if we shall confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if we shall believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Father, we have to make that choice. We make that decision to be saved, to have our sins washed and cleansed, because Jesus went to that cross and shed his blood. He died and rose again. And now if we receive that by faith and believe it by faith, we receive that eternal life. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed. It's just me, you, and God now. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm just going to be real honest. That's me. I need to get saved. I want my sins forgiven. Maybe you're here and you didn't realize that you were spiritually dead. But the good news is you can be alive. You can receive Jesus. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed. If that's you here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to know that heaven is my home. I want to know that I'm free from my sins. If that's you, could you just real quickly slip your hand in the air, please? You just go ahead. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that would say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I know I need Jesus. Or maybe I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. And you can say, well, I'm unsure. I'll tell you what, if you're unsure, then that means you need to get sure. Is there anybody else before we pray this prayer? Simply me, you, and God, and it's just between you and him now. You're just lifting your hand saying, Lord, that's me. I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to know that I'm never going to go to hell. Is there anybody else before we pray that would just be bold enough to lift that hand in the air for just one moment? Anybody else before we pray? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else before we pray? God loves you. It's just... it's how we introduce people to Jesus. Is there anybody else before we pray? I would say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I want to make that decision. Well, we're going to pray here in just a moment. If you lifted your hand, we're all going to be praying. All you need to do, pray these words out of your mouth, mean them with your heart, speak to God, he'll hear you. Confess your faith in Jesus, and he's going to give you that eternal life. We're going to pray in just one more moment, but before we do, is there anybody else that wants to stand before the Lord and say, yes, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Is there anybody else before we pray? I just want to make sure. I know we had several hands. Let's all pray this prayer. Let's all pray it together. Say these words with me. Mean it with your heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. See, folks, it's not hard to release our faith. You know, it's not hard to make that choice and to give our lives to Jesus. And you know what? Maybe you're here today and maybe you feel like you needed to say that or to do that, but you still, you know, didn't do that. Well, guess what? You saw today what that looks like and what you can do to receive Jesus. And now I just encourage anybody that has made Jesus their Lord and Savior, let's live for him. Amen. Learn about him. Get into a Bible teaching church. We would love to have you right here. Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Did we get any help here today? Folks, aren't you glad to see souls coming into the kingdom of God? Folks, we're going to head right up to the youth center. Everybody's invited. We have some refreshments up there. If you're visiting here today, I would love an opportunity to meet and greet with you. We're just going to give God some praise. We're just going to declare all those goodies up there blessed to our bodies in Jesus' name. And so when you get up there, you can just help yourself to some food. Let's just glorify God here. Father, we just bless you today. We are just so glad to be in the family of God. And Father, we just command your blessing upon all those that are here. And we pray for those that have just made Jesus the Lord of their life. That, Lord, that they would be strengthened and filled and taught your word. That they would be discipled into a full relationship with you. And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in